You have arrived at your destination. All right, Wildlings, that's right. You have arrived at your destination. And of course, I'm your host, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. And this is the Sean versus Wild podcast. That's right. It's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. Guys, hopefully you have been crushing it this week, just absolutely kicking A and taking names. And I know I have. I had a great weekend. Speaking of kicking A, Artica album release show, fantastic. I was there as promised, handing out the flyers, drinking the whiskey and Diet Cokes, and I had an amazing time. They were great. Summer Youth was fantastic. Light Treasons killed it. Gallifrey Falls, so brutal, so intense. Had an awesome time on Friday. If you are one of the new listeners that just checked out the show because you got a flyer, big shout out to you. Welcome aboard. You know what I'm saying? Shoot me a message online, something. Let me know that you tuned in this week. This week we're having an awesome show. It's actually a two-parter, guys, so a very special two-part episode with my good friend Caleb Hanks. Now, Caleb is a multi-instrumentalist, and I'm just a huge fan of this guy's work all around. Toured with his old band Nova Echo back in the day. He's got a brand new project called The Clerk, and not only is it a musical project, The Clerk stuff is kind of the soundtrack to a graphic novel that he has also written and drawn himself, and it's a complete interactive piece online, and he's got so much going on with it, and he's so intelligent. I'm just, like I said, a huge fan of his work, so I'm very happy to have him on the show, and then for two parts, so I'm going to bring some Caleb Hanks into your life this week, and I think it's just going to be awesome. So if you're a fan of comic books or if you're just a fan of awesome music, sci-fi, we're talking all kinds of stuff here this week. And then over two episodes, a lot of pop culture going on. And yeah, I think you guys are going to really love it. I know that I am stoked about it. Yeah. And also, guys, I know because we're doing two episodes, don't want to keep you too long here in the intro. But of course, I want to talk about Audiophile Inc. Shane at Audiophile Inc. is going to be able to get you taken care of, get you some stuff printed up, screen printed. So if you have a podcast like me, or a band, or an idea, or something like that, and you need some screen printing done, Shane at Audiophile Inc. is going to get you taken care of. So just tell him the Wild Man sent you. You can check him out at audiophileinc.com. AudioPhileInc.com. He'll give you the best deal in town, no matter what town you live in, because he's going to ship to all 50 nifty United States. That is nifty. Also, big shout out to Audible. Audible's an Amazon company. You get your audiobooks there. Because you listen to the Sean vs. Wild podcast, you're going to get a free 30-day trial of Audible. And when you do so, you can choose from over 180,000 audiobooks. So you get one of those with your free 30 days, and you get to enjoy that. And when you do, they're going to kick me back some money to keep the lights on here at the Smithsonian. So it's a win-win, guys. Go to audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild and sign up today. That's audibletrial.com/SEANVSWILD. Also, big thanks to Joe Brock for booping these dials. He's got to do two podcasts this week, so keeping him busy. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe second part will come out next week. Either way, stay tuned, guys. It's definitely going to be out. And when you have, you know, when you subscribe, you'll get that notification as soon as the podcast is out, of course. But yeah, I want to kind of keep it short and sweet here because we've got a lot of episode today, and we've got a whole second part too. So guys, let's get wild. All right, Manuel. I mean, Caleb.
E.
I love that. All right, Manuel, we're going to get started. Did you just call me Manuel? That's great. I don't know if all microphone windscreens are meant to be this way, or maybe I'm just a genius. Like, I'm that guy that, like, is like the internet hacker. But I had a windscreen that was much too big for this brand new SM57 I got. And then I was, like, all bummed out about it. And then I just flipped it inside out, and it fits snugly. And it's, like, the perfect size.
See,
I think what you can do with that is in like 10 years, if infomercials are still a thing, then you can like show up in a nice suit and be like, hey, you fucking podcasters, do you want a windscreen that doesn't fit like a Magnum condom?
Perfect.
Just flip it inside out. But this one I'm going to sell you for 5 easy payments of $99.99 is a pre-flipped inside out wind sock.
Yeah, I did look at the SM57 windscreen, and it was like, oh yes, it's a screw-on windscreen, and it's $25. And I'm like, I'll probably just put my sock around it first or something before I invest that much money on a piece of foam.
When I started recording music, I was like really, really young, so I can't tell you like how many. My mom thought I was weird because I was like stealing her pantyhose to make like the little pop filters out of it.
Caleb.
I don't even have one now. I moved out of my mom's place and now I don't have pop filters.
You don't have a pop filter. You're cracking open your mom's hosiery eggs. Yeah, exactly. Do you remember when pantyhose came in an egg? Does it still? Oh, yeah. I wonder.
At one point, like Robin Williams came in an egg. that might be a deep cut for the kids.
Yeah, Mork and Mindy, guys, it's cool.
Yeah.
For all the listeners out there, do pantyhose still come in an egg? You tell us. All right. But yeah, this isn't necessarily the pantyhose podcast, even though I mean I wouldn't have a problem with it if it was. Would you?
It's like, well I know what I'm gonna start now.
Right. Yes. Caleb and Sean, host of the Pantyhose Podcast Hour. So, but this is actually the Sean versus Wild podcast, guys. And you know me, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith. And joining me today by way of the brand new virtual Smithsonian 2.0, I can actually see Caleb, and he's in North Carolina. I'm in Indiana. Oh, I gave it away. Who I have on the podcast? Caleb Hanks, and you guys know him as multi-instrumentalist extraordinaire, frontman for such groups as The Nova Echo, Day of the Dude, and his new project, The Clerks. And by The Clerks, I mean The Clerk. And Caleb, welcome to the show, buddy.
What's up, man? I'm super stoked to be on here because when you first started the podcast, I was like listening to like all the episodes of like, well, people I knew, like you and Kevin and Brock.
Yeah.
Little baby Brock.
Yeah, old baby Brock is all grown up, and he edits this podcast every week for me.
Oh, does he really? That's awesome. What's up, Joe?
Yeah, Joe. A big shout out to you. And he also recorded the intro song for me. So Joe Brock is a crucial element to the Sean versus Wild podcast.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I think I remember that now. It's been a while.
Yeah, dude. Well, it's nice to see you because we haven't seen each other in I don't know how long, a couple years.
Yeah, I think it's actually been like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, so it's great to catch up. I'm glad we were able to do this. Caleb, let's just start, man. Let's just jump right in because obviously the pantyhose bit was just a big disaster, okay?
In the opening. It happened.
The pantyhose podcast is really going nowhere fast, guys. So let's go ahead and just jump right in. So, Caleb, it's been about 6 years since I last saw you. You've moved on from the Nova Echo. What have you been up to? Because, you got some huge projects that are in the works right now that I want to tell everybody about. So fill me in from the last time I saw you. What you been up to?
Man, it's been insane since the last time I saw you. Like, a lot of things have changed in my life. So we were both out doing the rock and roll thing for a long time. You and I spent many a night on the Nova Echo
Sprinter?
Star Cruiser.
Right.
The Sprinter, Master Sprinter. So the Nova Echo ended, and I kind of didn't know what to do because I was like, I'd been in a band for 500,000 years. I'd literally been in band since I was like 15. And I was still in a bluegrass band, like, to pay the bills at that point. So I pretty much have just stayed in bands. But, yeah, got done with that. I kind of just turned into a hermit for a really long time, or for, like, a couple of years. And I went to, like, online audio school because I wanted to learn how to be able to make just, like, electronic stuff sound good in my bedroom. And that's kind of what led to me actually releasing some of the demos that I would do. Because I had The Clerk, this project, The Clerk, which was my solo thing, literally since I was 16 years old. I remember I was working in an Eckerd in Asheville. It was like a drugstore here in Asheville in North Carolina. And I remember looking at the world and thinking, like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, a robot could do my job. Like, I'm standing here, like, putting things across a scanner. It's like people could do this by themselves. Then, like, a couple years later, self-checkouts happen. But I remember thinking, like, I'm just this clerk. I'm a nobody, but then I go home and I make this music, but nobody knows about it. So that name just kind of stuck. And then it has evolved into a bunch of different things, and we'll talk about it later, but, like, the comic book. So, yeah, I'm mainly on here talking about the release of a 15-song album called Xander, which, dude, do not ever do a 15-song album on your own. It fucking sucks.
So you did it all from start. I mean, I know that you're, like, just so multi-talented. I've seen you play multiple different instruments. You have a great voice, and you're super creative. And I was like, man, this is a huge project. Now that's even more impressive by you basically just releasing the information that you did it all by yourself in your bedroom.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole kind of idea of the clerk project, is that I am a pretty impatient person, so I just learned how to do all the shit that I wanted on my own. So it's like, I did have Evan, who you knew from the Nova Echo. He was playing guitar when you knew him. I did have him do some, like, I think he guest mixed one of the songs, Isolation, on the record, and then he just did, like, an overall, just kind of like a listen through / master to make sure I wasn't, like, screwing up anything heavily. But he said there wasn't anything too insane that he had to do. He just kind of did, like, some warming over. But I mean, I pretty much could have released it without that, but I wanted to make sure that that it sounded as good as it possibly could. And I like working with Evan, so I had him do some master stuff on there. But yeah, man, the record was a ridiculous undertaking. And I truly, like, I didn't really set out to make a record when I started working on this, because, to be honest with you, so as you know, as you merge into, how old are you now? Do you mind releasing that?
Oh gosh, private information. Yeah, 31 years old. I'll be 32 on May 5th.
Okay, yeah. So I'll be 32 in April, and so after the band ended, I'm just kind of hanging around Asheville. I was just kind of, like I said, I was kind of like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with my life, and I kind of struggled with depression for a good long while. I kind of had throughout my entire life. And I'm really not making any bones about the fact that the majority of this album was actually recorded, like, in a complete alcohol-fueled depression. Like, right. I'm not even joking. Because, you know, like, I don't know, like, where you are with your, like, relationships and the dating world, but, like, man, when you get into your 30s and you're, like, going to bars and the majority of the people there are, like, way younger, and the majority of the people your age are, like, getting married and, right, and have kids and stuff like that, it's just like, oh my god, I missed the bus. I'm gonna be alone forever.
Dude, I feel the exact same way. I have those exact same thoughts every single day. I'm like, man, I gotta get out there. I gotta find something to do. Like, I gotta find a hobby where people get together that isn't the bar or something.
Right. Totally, dude.
Maybe we need to start going to church.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, LARPing or D&D.
Yes, sure. Well, you know what I'm saying? Perfect. We need to get a D&D singles conglomeration going here.
Well, that's funny, because I'm actually, I think it's launching in May. I'm actually part of a D&D podcast, so.
Oh, perfect.
Quick plug.
Yeah, perfect. I'm currently playing D&D, okay? So,
are you?
Yes. It was pretty cool, because our DM, and I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but DM wrote one story, and then there's a second story with different characters, and story one and story two combine, and basically the fallout from both things will be in part three, so three different campaigns. So,
dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a monk wood elf right now, and, you know, I have to say it's pretty kick-ass.
Hell yeah, dude. That's really funny. Yeah, I started playing, so kind of like, let's see how to tie this all together. Kind of like, so I'm 29, 30, kind of around this. I was going through some tough times. Basically, long story short, this is the weirdest shit ever. I was dating a girl, moved to Athens, Georgia. I was doing the first run of the Clerk comic book on the clerkchronicles.com. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I had literally learned how to draw from YouTube because I was like, I really want to make this comic book, but I don't know how to draw. But I also don't have money to pay somebody to do it. So I was like, you know, I used to kind of draw back in school. So I'll just look on YouTube and see if I can learn how to fucking draw. So I start doing the comic book, have no clue what I'm doing, buy the website, put it on there. My brother, I promise this story is going to start making sense here in a second. My brother writes books about UFOs and aliens. He's got a podcast called The Graylian Report. He talks about that sort of shit on there. I went to some of these conventions with Micah to, like, just, I don't know, go have fun and drink and talk to people that, you know, wanted to see aliens and shit. And I met this guy, Jason McClellan. He's got a cool company going on called Rogue Planet. And he interviewed Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 about some alien stuff. So he kept in touch with Tom, and Tom mentioned he was starting this company called To the Stars. I'm sure you've probably seen some stuff about it.
Yes, I heard his episode of Joe Rogan there.
Yeah. So Jason emails me one night, and he's like, hey, dude, I just sent your Clerk website to Tom DeLonge. He said he's looking for some artists for his website. It'd be pretty cool if he wanted to work with you. 10 minutes later, I get an email from Tom DeLonge, and he's like, hey, man, I really like your artwork. I want to see if maybe you could work for my company. Can you call me next week? And I'm like, fucking A, yeah, I can totally call you. So we set it up, and I get a phone call from Tom and talk to him on the phone. Nicest dude ever. Super cool. He works it out to where he wants me to draw like aliens and weird shit for like the news part of the website. So I did that for like a year. I was super stoked because I'm like getting paid. I'm like, dude, all those Blink records I bought back in the day, I'm getting it back like tenfold with this shit. And so I'm like working for the company. And so, you know, I moved to Athens with this girl and everything's great. And then next thing I know, like shit starts going downhill with her. And then Tom's company, they're basically just like, hey, like, thank you guys all for the work, but we just don't want to do a news site like this anymore. Right. It's nothing you guys did, but like, we just want to discontinue the news site. And I was like, hey, no worries. Like, thanks for the opportunity. It was super cool. I actually did like a Bigfoot that they put on the garage doors of their headquarters in Encinitas at To the Stars, and they posted that on their Instagram.
That's amazing, actually.
So that was super fucking cool. It was like one of the coolest things that had ever happened. Like this dream job just fell in my lap. So that falls apart. My girlfriend and I fall apart. I come back to Asheville. I'm hating everything. So I just start drinking. And I just stayed in just like an alcoholic depression truly for a good long while there. Through that, I found Dungeons and Dragons, which is really, really fun. And so then I'm, you know, I'm like getting back out in the dating scene and trying to, you know, meet people. And Tinder is just like, it's just like, it's like Pokemon Go, man. I truly feel like Tinder is like Pokemon. It's like you try to catch them and just be like, hey, can you not like enslave them or anything, but it's like you just try to get out there like, hey, do you want to go on a date, blah blah blah. And it's like you can say one tiny little insignificant fucking thing and then they're just gone. I mean, just like out of there. And so
my Tinder, don't mean to cut you off there. We'll get back to the story, but my Tinder interactions are always just, it'll be like, hey, what, like, for one, always start off with a gift, guys. Always start off with one. Okay. It's a nice icebreaker. And then they might hit you up with a gift and they'd be like, hey, what's up? They'll say, not much, you? And you'll say, nothing. And, you know, from there, it's weird. So I'll usually be like, hey, so tell me some stuff about yourself. And then it'll be like, you never hear from him again. So,
oh, yeah, that's the point of Tinder.
And that's how Tinder works, guys.
Yeah, exactly. You have like two like meaningless exchanges. What's going on? Nothing. I mean, maybe it's weird because like in person, I feel like I can immediately start a conversation with somebody. It's
right.
It's not a fucking problem. But as soon as I'm on the internet, I'm just like, hey, hi, I don't live with mom anymore. Fuck. You know, it's like,
right.
It's so ridiculous.
Needless to say, you've been picking up quite a few hot local singles at your Dungeons and Dragons campaign.
No, I didn't happen like that. So, I had a couple of just, it honestly had just gotten to the point where I felt like the dating world was just one horrific punchline after another. And I was just like getting just like, I just felt like some giant like robot was pummeling me into the ground every time that it just like went worse and worse and worse. And I'd meet some nice girl and then she would just like completely disappear on me. And the last time that it happened, like I met this girl that she was really, really nice, very attractive. And we had a lot of really similar, interests and blah, blah, blah. Super easy to talk to. I felt like the date just went like so great. And I'm like, wow, she's so awesome. And I message her again. And she, you know, messages back. And then, like, I think I messaged her, like, you know, the next weekend, like, hey, I had a really fun time with you. I was just wanting to see if you want to get drinks again. And then, like, just ghosted. Just gone. Nothing. I mean, out of the blue, just completely gone. And at that point, that had happened to me so many times that I was just like, fuck everything. And like I was going through a bunch of other stuff. I had a death in the family, had a buddy just die out of nowhere with a brain tumor, just like all of this shit was just kind of like crushing in on me. And so unfortunately, you know, I don't recommend it to anybody at all, but like alcoholism kind of became a thing,
right? Yeah.
And
it always creeps up on you.
Yeah, it and so I remember saying, like, you know, if I'm going to just be depressed as hell, I'm at least going to take this time to, you know, make some pretty stuff. Because it's like if my happiness is something that is potentially just completely elusive, then I'm just going to spend my life making, you know, beautiful things to hopefully make people that feel like I do a little less shitty. And through whatever means that I possibly can. And so I started kind of just like I would sit down whenever I wanted to write. I would sit down with a 12-pack and from start to finish, I would like the song I think that we're going to play a little later on, the song Osaya Separation Games, Osaya being a made-up word that I just felt like I was like, that song sounds like that word. But yeah, I would sit down with a 12-pack of beer. And I would not get up until the song was done and the beer was done. And so that song in particular, I wrote the lyrics for, composed, recorded, sang the vocals, completely lit, and had it done in one fucking night.
That's insane.
Yeah, man. It was, and that's how the majority of the entire album got done.
Well, they always say like the best art always comes from not a happy place, but from a dark, you know, a dark place. That's when you make your best art. And that's when people also can connect to it. It's very hard to get people to connect to good news and like good things, but people can really relate and connect when people are struggling, you know?
Well, I don't know. I feel like it's a lot of the time when you hear like happy music, it just sounds fucking contrived to me.
Yeah, a little cheesy.
Yeah, because it's just like, we're all having good and we're all having a good time. And it's like, in the back of my mind, whenever I hear shit like that, I'm like, what are you hiding? Like, what are you trying to get away from?
Yeah, you're having a good time. Are you convincing me or are you convincing yourself?
Right, exactly. I think it was like Jim Adkins from Jimmy Eat World was talking about how he is like constitutionally opposed to writing happy sounding music with happy sounding lyrics. He's like, I can't do it. It's just too, he's like, I can't bring myself to put it all positive or all negative. He's like, if it's a negative sounding song, I'll put happy lyrics. And I kind of, I enjoy that too, because that's, that's kind of something I've adopted a little bit. But then again, and sorry if I'm just kind of like incoherently rambling, but yeah, the album, it's got a dual function. It was like a therapeutic thing for me. And it's also the soundtrack to the Clerk Chronicles comic book, which is something that I'm basically rebooting, and that will be kind of trickling page by page onto theclerkchronicles.com in the next couple of months. Because at the beginning of January last year, I started playing with this bluegrass band called Grandpa's Cough Medicine, which was like this fucking speed metal bluegrass band, and I was on tour for like an entire year with that band, just non-fucking-stop, dude. And I quit that band in October, just kind of like over some, you know, just like it just great band, but it just really was not my scene. And so now I'm living in an apartment in downtown Asheville. I've met an incredible woman. We've been together for about 9 months, and she's like the sweetest person in the world. And like all of the shit that like that I had to overcome to get to this point, I truly have felt like some true catharsis by putting out the Clerk album, because I've been doing like the Clerk recordings for a long time, but this was the first album where I was like actually working through some real shit. I mean, there's some depressing shit on this album. Like, I'm not gonna fucking lie. Like, the majority of the happier stuff that started like to come that started to come out on the record were definitely stuff I was writing there towards like now. Like the song Atlas is the second song on the record. I did that when I was in Los Angeles hanging out with Evan for like a month, and I'm just like hanging out in Malibu like shit's awesome.
Right.
So it's definitely a lot different.
Well, that's awesome, man. And I've listened to the album a few times, and I listened to it today, of course, in preparation. And I love the sound. Anybody that was a fan of the Nova Echo, I feel, you know, will definitely. I even heard a little Nova Echo little ditty at the beginning of one of the songs there. So it's kind of a nice.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a nice like next step. So if you love the Nova Echo, you're gonna love the Clerk. But also too, what I felt musically is. It's so accessible, even though, you know, it's not contrived. It's not just your run-of-the-mill standard stuff. To me, it's highly intellectual in many ways.
Thanks.
Smart lyrics, smart songwriting, the instrumentation, all that good sort of thing is carefully, to me, it seemed very carefully thought out and very, I don't know, it just not contrived, you know what I'm saying? But also, too, when you listen to it, I feel like you're not alienated by that, because if you're a fan of pop music, you'll love it. If you like electronic music, you like it. If you like an 80s new wave sound, that's in there. If you're more into rock and roll, or if you're more into this or that. So it's very accessible to just about anybody, I feel, that enjoys music.
I really appreciate that, man. Like, I've really always liked electronic sensibilities, and especially just because of the ease of the access to good sounding audio, like right out of the box. I mean, like, because I do everything with Ableton Live and just a bunch of synthesizers and crap like that. And like, I think that's what kind of molded me as far as like wanting to do music that was a bit more electronic, because I think I got really bored with just guitars pretty early on in my life. Like,
right.
I love NOFX. I love punk bands and shit like that. And that like hard rock guitar, but there's something about the freedom of electronic music where you can just pull in samples from all just like random shit. You can record your own samples and just throw them in there and stuff like that. I very much appreciate you saying that you feel like the music sounds intellectual, because I want it to, but I'm like hard on myself sometimes, because I'm like, oh, I don't know, I sound like a fucking dumbass or whatever.
But no, it sounds great. And what I love about it too is like, I'm a big fan of sci-fi. So like, I feel like even if you're not into certain music, but you just like love sci-fi and you like sci-fi movies or something, like this would be the perfect soundtrack it's a soundtrack to your graphic novel, but the soundtrack to like a sci-fi movie or science fiction. It's a story, you know, put to music, you know what I'm saying? So
totally, dude.
Totally. I mean,
totally. Totes, bro. Possibly different Tatoes.
Totally
bro.
Different Tatoes.
we'll have to tell that story here in a minute. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, dude, I mean, at the end of the day, the Clerk Chronicles the music, the comic book especially, it's all just like my giant goddamn tribute to the things that shaped me, which is all sci-fi shit. Star Wars. I mean, dude, like, Star Wars is my life. I care more about Star Wars than fucking, like, I know more about Star Wars than real life. I know more about planets that exist in Star Wars than I do in our own galaxy. Like,
can you tell me who Snope is?
Snopes?
Can you tell me? Oh, Snoke. Sorry. Can you tell me who Snoke is?
Can we go ahead and say spoilers? Have you seen The Last Jedi?
Oh, yeah, of course. I've already done a Last Jedi review where I gave it a run-of-the-mill score. I think I gave it like a 7, maybe an 8. I kind of liked it, and then I kind of have mixed feelings about it after I've seen it and the dust settled. But 7 to 8, not bad.
Anyone with a brain would have to at very least have mixed feelings about that movie. Yeah, so spoiler alert, everybody. I honestly, and I'm not like pissed about the movie, but I hated it. Like, I fucking hated it.
Fair enough.
I just felt like, so I really enjoyed Rogue One. Are you a fan of Rogue One?
Yeah, I liked Rogue One.
I really enjoyed Rogue One. I feel like movies like that, it's a little easier to not have as much pressure on them because they're little one-offs, and it's not like somebody's fucking childhood riding on it. It's just kind of, it's just like a fun little one-off story. So I loved Rogue One. I just thought that movie was very artfully done. I felt like that movie had a little bit of space to breathe rather than, also, I was going to mention this one, and I know this is like a big subject because we used to talk about this a lot. The new Blade Runner. Did you see the new Blade Runner?
Loved it. Saw it twice in the theater.
It was one of the most refreshingly slow movies. Yeah,
exactly. I loved it. And most people are like, man, this movie seemed like it was 10 hours long. I couldn't stand it. Or yeah, Ryan Gosling just barely talked in it. I'm like, yes, I know. Isn't it great when people can just knock a film out of the park? Because, you know, a movie is supposed to be showing the story, not telling the story, you know?
Yeah, exactly, man. I mean, in a different way, I loved the new Blade Runner just as much as the old one, because it, when you are so fucking saturated by all these movies that are just like bam, 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 action superhero, like just being bombarded with like with action scenes and all this shit, it is so nice to watch a movie that is very mindful and purposeful about the artistic landscape of the project.
Right.
And like, just seeing that movie, I'm like, oh my God, it just like, you can just breathe and take it in and enjoy it. I felt like with The Last Jedi, it was like, let's take a bunch of fucking, like, let's take a bunch of scarecrows of characters that you used to like and prop them up on broomsticks and puppet them around and then at the end, we're going to douse them all in gasoline and set them on fire and be like, did you like Luke Skywalker? Well, fuck Luke Skywalker.
Right. I don't know. I had so many mixed feelings about it, because some parts I really liked, some parts I absolutely hated. And yeah, but I've talked about Star Wars a shitload on my show. It was okay. You know, it was all right.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
Do you think that J.J. Abrams is going to be able to turn that shit around? And I'll give you one little nugget of hope. At least the art director from the new Blade Runner is going to be the art director on Episode 9.
Oh, well, that actually gives me a lot of hope. I'm just worried that Episode 9, I hope it doesn't deal with all those kids. Like, I hope it's not like Return of the Jedi scenario where it's like, well, the kids are going to bring them down instead of, you know, these kids in bear suits.
And I mean, like, I know that Rian Johnson was not making The Last Jedi for me.
Yeah, dude. Brian Johnson was playing for AC/DC, brother.
He's like, you kids like Star Wars? I've been doing cocaine in the bathroom for 28 fucking years.
Exactly.
Like, he's basically Sam Kinison. Yeah. Hey, fuckers! Wow! Holy fuck!
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, with that, The Clerk Chronicles, back to that bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a huge tribute to Star Wars, and, like, you know, I'm just a huge fan of sci-fi in general. anime shit. I don't know if you ever saw FLCL Fooly Cooly.
No, I haven't.
It was this really, I hope that some people that are listening right now know what Fooly Cooly is, but FLCL Fooly Cooly, it was like a 6-episode run of this just really fucking super whacked out anime that they like ran on like Toonami back in the day. And it's, the premise is this alien chick comes to this crazy town, this like little like Japanese town, and there's this young kid, and she uses like a Rickenbacker bass as a weapon and hits him in the forehead, and then these giant robots, this is super Japan sounding, these giant robots grow out of his fucking head, and then the robots have, the robot, like, there's bad robots and good robots. The one robot eats the kid and uses him as ammunition and shoots it at the other robots. But that's, like, a very slimmed-down version of just all the crazy, nutty shit that's going on. But also, like, the Clerk Chronicles, super influenced by, like, Akira. Did you ever see Akira? Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
One of the best fucking movies ever made.
Well, Blade Runner is my favorite movie of all time. So, yeah. And I tried to get it. I'm not super into anime, but my opinion has really kind of taken a 180 over the years. And I watched Akira, and people are like, you know, if you love Blade Runner, you're gonna like Akira. Very set in a very similar art style and all that sort of thing. And yeah, loved it. Thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I saw Akira when I was probably like 16, and it was such a wonderful departure from. You know, at that point, I mean, obviously, like, a lot of crazy ass anime had existed for a while. I think like Ninja Scroll and a lot of those, like Vampire Hunter D, a lot of the more like violent anime had existed, but I was just unaware of them. And then I found, I was like, man, they make cartoons that show like boobs and like cut people in half. And like Akira was just so goddamn violent. And at that point, you know, I'm like a 16-year-old kid who's going through like temporal lobe syndrome, which I was having, like, it's like an actual thing. Like I was just like, I'm turning into the Incredible Hulk over nothing. And I did biofeedback therapy to get over that, which is I went to this place in downtown Asheville, and this doctor put little things all over my head, little sensors, and you would sit there and play Pac-Man with your brain waves. And so it was like, and so you had like a little screen that showed you what your brain waves were doing, and they're like, you know, they're like all over the fucking place. But as you kind of like focus on this little Pac-Man eating the little Pac pellets, when you're like concentrating and not letting your inner thoughts get all cray cray, Pac-Man's going along and eating the little pack pellets. And then when your brain would start to fog up, he would like slow down and you wouldn't be able to concentrate, and he would like just like stop going. But you would get to the point where you could train your brain to kind of eat the little pack pellets. And after that, like, I remember after every session, I would feel like way more just like level-headed. I didn't feel like I was unenergetic or anything like that, but I would just feel like I wasn't being like just triggered immediately. I wasn't like freaking the fuck out. And it changed my life, man. It was like a huge thing for me when I was like going through, because, man, like, if you think I was crazy when you and I were on tour, like, imagine me as a pubescent teen
with all your angst.
Oh my god, with all my things I didn't know were My Chemical Romance lyrics in my head.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, before we go any further, because we are already quite a bit into the show, let's go ahead and give the listening audience a taste of the Clerk Chronicles, and the song Osaya that we mentioned earlier. I specifically wanted to play that because that's my jam. Can you,
oh, yeah.
I guess, give the listeners a brief little backstory on Osaya?
Yeah, I wrote that song the beginning of 2017. I was still kind of depressed, but I was starting to feel a good bit better because I was going out on tour with this band. We were touring down in Florida where it was like super, super warm and nice. And I was just starting to feel a little bit better about everything. And I was just feeling particularly happy for once. And so I sat down one night and just had this idea of this, just kind of just this feeling in my body of just this like rhythm. And I was like, man, I have got to do something with this rhythm. And so I just sat down with a 12 pack of beer, and like 12 hours later, I had that shit on the internet, like ready for people to listen.
Well, I love it. So that's the song that I chose. And that's the song you guys are going to hear, guys. This is The Clerk with Osaya, Separation Games. Everybody, that was The Clerk, that was Osiah taking you to Toontown. Old Caleb Hanks. Do you like that? I saw that smile when I said taking you to Toontown.
Old Caleb Hanks.
Oh, Caleb Hanks taking you to Toontown. You know, earlier before the break, you mentioned you're like, oh, I can watch cartoons with boobs in it. I have a great cartoon with boobs story. Okay, so when I was when I was a kid, we had cable. Okay, cool brag. I know what you're thinking. So we had cable, and I remember, you know, just kind of waking up in the middle of the night, and the TV was on. So a lot of times in our house, people just slept with the TV on. That was a habit. It took me years to break. But so I woke up in the middle of the night, and they were playing this cartoon. And, like, in this cartoon, there's, like, this big barbarian dude, and he's just, like, sexing up this woman. And I'm like, what is this? It's a cartoon, man. Like, I've never seen, like, I'm looking at a naked woman cartoon. I cannot believe it. And there was this, like, floating, glowing green orb that's also in it. And I'm like 3 or 4 years old. Okay. So I'm like really young. And this is one of like those memories that just happen to stick with you, you know?
Yeah.
And for so long, I was like, man, I think I just dreamed this. Okay. I could not possibly have really seen this. All right. This must have been some weird product of my young developing mind.
Yeah.
About 3 years ago, a friend recommended a movie to me. And so I watched it, and it's Heavy Metal.
Oh, right.
So Heavy Metal was on, and then there's like a scene where there's like a barbarian dude, and he's like sexing up this woman, and then there's like a glowing green orb. And I was like, holy shit. Like, literally, it took me 25, 28 years, whatever the case might be. And I was like, I put the pieces together. Finally, it happened. Heavy Metal changed my life.
Dude, that's really funny. I actually have a similar story with this thing called a boglin. It was like these weird little, like goblin hand puppets that you could put on your hand and you could like make the eyes look around. And I met this dude like last year and he like pulls it out. We're in this random hotel on the Dartmouth campus and he pulls out this boglin thing. And I was like, what the fuck is that? He's like, dude, it's a boglin. It's like a hand goblin. And I was like, I remember seeing commercials for those in the 80s when I was like really little. And I was wondering if I had dreamed them and he had one. I was like, dude. That's crazy. I wanted to steal it from him.
I have another friend that one time told me he dreamed the movie The Peanut Butter Experiment. Have you ever seen the Peanut Butter Experiment?
The Peanut Butter Solution.
The Peanut Butter Solution, yeah.
But that's so fucking weird that you say that because my girlfriend has been talking about this movie since we started dating and I'd never seen it and I just watched it like a week ago.
Oh, yeah. And he was telling me about it. He was like, yeah, I thought I dreamed it. And then, you know, years later, I'm reading the synopsis of this movie, and it turns out that was the movie. So,
dude, that movie is so bizarre.
Badass. You're right. Absolutely amazing. I have it on VHS. We'll have to have a VHS viewing party one day.
Dude, I'm so down. That's funny because, okay, so since I'm not in the Nova Echo, I just recently, and we'll get into the comic book stuff here in a minute, but I wanted to bring this up because it involves the Peanut Butter Solution. So I have a new band called Copernicus, and it's basically like bluegrass instrumentation. It's acoustic guitar, mandolin, banjo, fiddle, electric bass, and drums. But we do like, imagine just like that band Rufio, but with acoustic instrumentation.
Right. Nice.
So, yeah, it's like that, and I'm working on the album for that. So we're kind of like going into the bluegrass community, like, hey guys, we're a bluegrass band. It's cool, but we're totally just like a fucking pop punk band.
That's awesome. What does that have to do with the Peanut Butter Solution?
So you know, at the very beginning of the movie, it plays that like really awesome 80s music when the first credits come on.
Oh yeah, of course.
That's the music that we're about to come out on stage to every single night.
That's perfect. You know, we used to come out to, and by come out to, I mean, we used to basically get pumped up and in the van, we would always blast Break the Ice from Rad. If you've ever seen the movie Rad, the BMX movie from the 80s, there's a song.
I don't know if I've seen that.
There's a song called Break the Ice, and that was the jam. And I think in the movie, I found out later that some of the songs from Rad were in a movie called like Turbo Kid or Turbo Man, something.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Turbo Kid, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's like a Netflix movie, not to be confused with like Star Kid, starring that kid from fucking, you know, Jurassic Park. Anyway, and I think they recycled some of the songs, so it got like a second wind of popularity. That's a tight jam, but we liked it before it was ever on that, okay? Somebody just randomly told me that. Anyway, yes, so I want to get to the matter at hand because we have been talking a lot of awesome stories, and we're going to definitely have a part two of this podcast where we're going to get into all of the awesome stuff that we know and that we love to talk about. But I want to specifically dwell, at least for the end of this episode, or till the end of this episode, I should say, on The Clerk Chronicles, the graphic novel, and now you have released the soundtrack to said graphic novel. What is kind of the backstory of the comic?
So the Clerk Chronicles is a futuristic sci-fi comic or graphic novel. It takes place on Earth. The main character, the clerk, basically wakes up into a future where he I'm trying to word this without like giving anything away.
Without but basically, any spoilers.
Yeah. Spoilers, motherfuckers. About my shitty comic that maybe four of you will read. But the main character wakes up in the future. Basically, he wakes up to a voice that says, Mr. Xander, you have a new donor or a new sponsor. And so he wakes up and he's got this brand new technological body. It's like, you know, it's very, very close to a humanoid body, but it's like top of the line, hellaciously expensive fucking new technological body, and his consciousness is in it. He goes out into the world and realizes he's in like a highly technological artificial intelligence city, and he runs into a female by chance, and one thing leads to another, and they basically are on the run from what end up being the AI police, because in the future, in this world, it does take place on Earth in the future, there's been these crazy ass wars between humans and the AI. And so the AI have basically kind of, when artificial intelligence came to be in the singularity, there were like emergence of humans becoming cyborgs, humans becoming post-humans, which completely weaned out their biology and became completely technological. Then there were AI that have basically like human consciousness, but they were never human. They were just robots that were built.
Right.
So there's basically just wars going on, or there have been wars going on for a long time. And the main female of the story, she kind of comes to the city to find out who the fuck she is. She doesn't know who her parents are. She just wants to find out. She wants to search through the records of the AI to see if there's anything about like her particular genetic code, and see if she can find out anything about like who she is or where she came from, because you know, she was kind of raised by these nomadic tribes of humans that live out in the desert, and she just doesn't know who the fuck she is. So I can't really get too much into it without giving anything away, or at least I haven't really thought too much of like a pitch of how to tell it without giving stuff away. Right. But it gets really fucking crazy. Like, it gets really crazy really quick.
Well, I can't wait. I can't wait to check it out, honestly. And where did you kind of come up with the idea to have a graphic novel with a soundtrack? I think that's such an awesome idea, because I love comics, I love music, and you don't really see the two paired as such. You know, usually, you know, you're going to pair music with a video, you know what I'm saying? Or the comic book is going to get a movie made out of it. But to do that, I think that was an amazing idea. What made you decide to do it?
I mean, I always wanted to do movies. And when I think of like The Clerk comic book, and when I think of how all the art is laid out, I always think of it in my head as a movie. I think maybe Endgame, not that I'm ever expecting this to happen, but like if it were to get picked up and become a movie, they'll probably bastardize it and make me hate my own thing. But if that were to ever happen. But yeah, I always think of it as a movie. And so when I think of like a soundtrack to a movie, I'm always thinking back to like classic ass soundtracks. Like, well, maybe they're not like classic to everybody else, but oddly enough, you know, did you ever listen to the Matthew Broderick Godzilla soundtrack, the 2000?
I was not familiar with that.
Man, so it had like Foo Fighters and like Silverchair and like all these like random songs on them, but it was just like such a damn good soundtrack. And I was always thinking like, you know, I do all this music, and I don't have the ability to put the movies in my head onto any sort of like graphic form until I cultivated the skills of like learning how to draw and all that sort of shit. But the songs before that were always just like music videos that needed to be movies, that needed to have a deeper story. And so when I kind of started thinking about like, why, who is this character, the clerk, and what is this, Everything was just kind of pointing towards this just needs to be a movie with a really crazy, like poppy ass sci-fi soundtrack. So yeah, it was all just like a culmination of my love for like having to create this big cinema shit. So
that's fantastic. Now let me ask you, have you ever put into, now that we live in the digital age, you know, comics, people can access them online. No big deal. But have you put any thought into releasing like a physical representation of the book? And I don't even know if they have CDs anymore, but maybe you can put it out on, you know, an 8-track or something that people will be like, oh, look at this. It's from the past.
Yeah, I mean, I would totally be down with putting out physical copies of stuff. It just kind of depends on, I've always thought that like print on demand was going to be the best way to do it, because sure, as of right now, I don't have the audience to justify spending a bunch of money to get like a bunch of copies of a graphic novel printed out that are like potentially going to just sit in my room. So
you don't have the potential audience yet. Listeners, yeah. I need you to go and give your feedback and tell Caleb that his project rocks. And get those pre-orders in.
Yeah, I'd be down with that. I would certainly be down to at some point do the graphic novel in a physical form. There are certain benefits that I'm going to kind of utilize with doing stuff online, because as of right now, I don't know if anybody's really doing this in exactly the way that I'm thinking, and maybe I'm just like spouting it out there on the internet for somebody to steal and bastardize the idea. But the comic book on the internet is going to be full of clickable Easter egg stuff. So there's going to be certain little things that when you're reading the comic book, you can like click and find shit within the comic book that is going to send you to like flash puzzles that I have created. And if you can figure out how to get through the puzzle, then it'll maybe take you to another one or something. And whenever you unlock these, you're going to get bonus content. So I've got like a back catalog of music that not a lot of people have heard and unreleased tracks. So if you can figure out like what to find throughout the comic books and then figure out the puzzles, and they'll all be little games and different interactive things, then you'll be able to like find the bonus tracks that like literally no one has heard and be able to download them for free when you find them. But there's also going to be like spin-off content within the comic book that are just like weird little artistic endeavors that I've been cultivating with some buddies of mine, and some of them are going to be musical, some of them are going to be other comics and just weird little side roads that you're going to find throughout the comic book. So there's totally advantages to doing it all online, and not to say that the comic book couldn't exist in a physical form, because it totally could, but I really want to take advantage of just being able to get as fucking weird as possible with the online side of it.
Yeah, I just love, now that you've mentioned that too, I love the idea of having a fully interactive comic book. See, I love Easter eggs. I like little things. Even when I watch like a TV show, you know, I was a big fan of Lost. And one of the reasons why I like Lost is, you know, they'll have like a little thing in the background that you got to watch for, or something that has like a significant meaning, and you got to put the puzzle together yourself in your head. You know, you got to actually think about it and use your freaking brain, dude.
Yeah, totally.
But the idea of having like a fully interactive comic book, that even takes it to the next level. And I don't know, I'm sure, you know, maybe somebody out there has done it, but I think that might really be some cutting edge stuff, because you can totally take advantage of, you know, the new medium. It doesn't have to be static pictures anymore.
Right. I mean, I can kind of take advantage of that myself, because when I dropped out of school when I was 16 years old, and for that entire time until now, where I'm 31, I've basically been learning how to do web design, Photoshop, recording music online, or recording music on computers and all that sort of shit. So I kind of have all of the skill set of the stuff I just wanted to be able to do anyway. Like, I just cultivated all that, like basically dropping out of school and learning how to do all that shit. So for me, it's a little easier to just like go into the website side of it and set up Easter eggs and make like interactive Flash games that people can mess with. And I'm really excited about that aspect of the comic book, because I too am like, I'm so into the Easter egg things and like after credit scenes. That's right. Why like and just shit like that. So I'll give a hint out to the people that are about to be reading the comic book potentially. Keep an eye out for the black candies.
All right, guys. This is a Sean versus Wild exclusive. Keep an eye out for the black fucking candies on the comic book. Heck yeah, dude. I'm excited for it. And when what's the estimated time you think that that they'll start seeing some pages roll out?
I would say probably middle of March.
Middle of March. Okay, perfect. And this podcast will coincide with it perfectly.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to start releasing it page by page, and then it's going to kind of just come together. I'll have, you know, I'm going to do the whole Patreon thing. So if anybody wants to follow me on the Patreons, I guess we can just put up all the links in the show notes or whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly how I do it. I mean, we can tell everybody. I mean, theclerkchronicles.com has all the information that you're going to want to check out, but we're going to put all of them in the show notes, so that way you can find all of the links all in one spot. But yeah. So yeah, and the new album, Xander V1. Vi yeah. One?
VI1. I just call it Xander. I just put like lots of weird, like if you look at the tracks, there's just all these weird like asterisks and zeros and blah blah blah. So I usually just call them by the name. I call that one Xander, but the album is technically Xander VI1. But yeah, if you want to check it out, just go to soundcloud.com/theclerk. I think it's bandcamp.com/theclerk or the clerk music. It's in the show notes either way. But you can stream all of the music for free. If you want to buy it on Bandcamp, that would be super cool, because I'm a musician and I'm poor as fuck. So, like,
yeah, the days of anybody making money off of their music, that's few and far between.
Yeah, it's so done. But yeah, if people feel like supporting this stuff, but I'm going to be pouring out content with this project like as much as humanly fucking possible. And I will say sometimes that is a little hard, because, dude, I literally do every single bit of it myself. So it's hard. But I just recently got, dude, it's like a game changer. I got the Apple Pencil and the iPad Pro for the drawing end of it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. It's so awesome.
Yeah. Next level.
It is, because I was doing like a Microsoft Surface Pro 2, and the lag with that thing, and it like heats up super hot. Like, I'm using the iPad Pro and a program called Procreate, which is suggestive and wonderful. But that program is super kick ass. A lot of people use like Wacom tablets to draw, but like, it just makes so much more sense for me to do it on like a fucking iPad, because it's like a fully functional computer that you can use for other stuff, and you're not spending like, I mean, you're spending about as much on an iPad as you would like some other expensive ass tablet. So
right, exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, as we're heading off into the sunset, at least for part one. Now, everybody, make sure to stick around for part two, because even though we haven't recorded part two yet, this is when part two is when a lot of the fun. Which this podcast has been fun. Let's be honest here. But this is where like we're just going to be more rambling, and we're going to be talking about all the stuff that we love, and we're just really going to be going all over the place in part two. So part one, I wanted to make mostly about the comic book, the projects, what led you to this moment in time, basically. But knowing all this, you know, you've kind of shared some information here in part one, which is, you know, you were talking about how you left school at 16 and you're teaching yourself how to do everything that you wanted to do via YouTube or via other type of outlets. I guess what is some advice that you could give someone that just really wants to do something, that they have a project? Maybe they want to be a musician. Maybe they want to be an artist. Maybe they want, I don't know, to be an actor, what have you. What's some good advice that you can actually give to those listening out there to you know, pursue their dreams?
The number one thing that I would ever tell anyone, because I will never ever in my life claim to be a pro at anything, I truly feel like, you know, I've been playing mandolin in a bluegrass band for 10 years, and for some reason I keep getting paid to do that, but I still don't feel like a pro. But the one thing that I would tell everybody is never, like, just start. Start now. Don't worry if you feel like you're good enough. Don't give a flying fuck at all about what people comment on the internet. That shit does not matter. Start doing whatever it is that you want immediately. Like, do not hesitate it. Never think, never overthink it. Because the only way that I ever got to where I am with this project at all and somehow landed a fucking job with Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 was because I just went headfirst into it and had no clue what I was doing. If like, I don't know, that is truly the most important thing. You are going to cultivate, if you truly care about what it is that you're trying to do, you will cultivate the skills to be able to do it, because I feel like it's not even work at that point, because you truly care about it and you truly have an interest. Like, some people look at programs like Photoshop or something like that and they're like, this looks like Chinese calligraphy. I don't know what the fuck this is. Forget all that shit. If you truly care about it, just start. Because that's the only way you're ever going to actually get shit done.
Boom, people. You heard it. Caleb Hanks, the clerk himself, giving you a hot tip right here on the Sean versus Wild podcast. Just the hot tip. Thanks, Caleb. I appreciate that. Guys, and if you like what you have heard today and you want to keep on supporting Caleb, again, theclerkchronicles.com. Pick up his album on Bandcamp. Check it out on SoundCloud. And if you like this podcast, feel free to subscribe. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, you know, wherever you get podcasts, it's there. It's on Spotify, guys. That's a big one. It's on Spotify. So make sure you check it out. And Caleb, let's go ahead and wrap up part one. Let's grab a few cold beverages and let's go ahead and kick into part two. What do you say?
Fuck yeah, bro.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in to part one, my conversation with Caleb on the Sean versus Wild podcast.
Thank you for listening, DNN.